Welcome to Out of the Office, a podcast exploring the lessons learned from the hit TV show, The US Office. This is an opportunity for us to use the series as a way to understand more about the ways we can create a more diverse and inclusive workplace. I'm your host, Sara Chandran. I'm the founder of Fresh and Fearless, and I'm going to be delving into the world of Dunder Mifflin to examine the different characters and scenarios presented throughout the series. We're going to look at how the show highlights the importance of respecting diversity, fostering inclusivity, and how we can create that positive work environment. Now, whether you're a fan of The Office or just interested in learning more about creating this inclusive workplace, this is the podcast for you. So grab your favorite Dundee award and let's tune in. I'm delighted that today we're going to be looking at season 2, episode 1, The Dundees. And as a bit of background, this is essentially Michael's, the manager of the Scranton office, his attempt to create an award show, but it's quite embarrassing. It's not that inclusive, and there's kind of some things in there that are probably not great to boost employee morale and spirits. And it takes place in the local Chili's restaurant, and he thinks that all his employees love the awards and that they love his comedy act, but actually a lot of people dread the Dundees. So that's a little bit of background, and I am delighted to have a good friend of mine, Nick, to talk to me about this episode. So Nick, do you want to come up and say hello?
Hi Sara, pleasure to be here. I'm Nick Warner. I'm a learning and development manager, currently working in InsurTech, so helping people to unlock their full potential, but still struggling when working on that myself. If only there were a training module for that.
Love that. So one of the icebreaker questions I have for all my guests is, so Michael, infamously in the show, has a mug that says world's best boss that he bought himself. So if you had world's best something mug that you bought yourself, what do you think it would say?
Nothing that was progressive, probably world's best cheekbones, world's best skin.
Bones and skin, that's true. Very gifted. any advice on how you get those amazing cheekbones and skin?
There's no secret, really. It's just plenty of exercise and a good diet and the odd bit of acid.
Amazing. Okay, so let's dive into the Dundees and the awards. And I obviously have watched the series so many times, and I find that the Dundees are really, it's an entertaining episode to watch. And I think there's like a really sweet moment with like Pam and Jim as well, where they have that little kiss. Well, I think Pam just like plants one on Jim and he's like, what? But in general, like, it's just like, it reminds me of when I was at work and we would often have like awards, and some of them would be silly and some of them would be more serious. And I feel like Michael maybe struggles here to kind of get the right balance, because I think he kind of sees the Dundees as an opportunity to like lift employee spirits and morale. And he tries to get Jan over and tries to get some budget to support it, to kind of give people drinks and stuff. But I think he really like misses the mark. So whilst he has like those good intentions, I think it hasn't quite achieved what he wanted in terms of the efforts to kind of make people feel great. And I just I wonder what your reflections are on that in terms of how Michael has kind of created these Dundees and why he's kind of missed the mark.
For sure. Well, it's certainly a process that he believes in. He does it year on year, but it's not really something that is well thought out. He doesn't take any opinions or feedback from his staff at all. And the whole event's very disorganized. And although it's an awards ceremony with several different categories, none of them are really tailored to the workforce's individual preference or their opinions on the world and the workplace. So it sets up an opportunity for many things to go wrong, and they do. And the whole thing kind of falls apart around him towards the end.
It is interesting how it just quickly wraps, like falls apart around him. And even like the Chili's restaurant, I feel like, is not really a fitting place for an awards ceremony. I just feel like there's like people, just random strangers, like sat around having the like evening entertainment, like of this office awards show. Like, I think it's not really great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good example there, really, to highlight the culture of a workplace and the fact that he's having the event in a American version of like a Charlie Chalks is going to go no way into breeding confidence or any sort of professionalism within the team. People are kind of there against their will. If you look around the faces in the room, everyone's initially anyway certainly very bored or acting like they don't want to be there, or just outright offended at some of these award categories that are being dished out to them.
Yeah, and I think like there's a couple of awards, like he gives Kelly like I've forgotten what it is, like something about curry, which is just completely inappropriate and so offensive to give the only Indian person in the office an award associated with curry. And then he obviously gives like Pam the White Sneakers Awards, which he seems really delighted by. And then he gives like Kevin like Smelliest Bowel Movement and stuff. And they're just like, I get that they're funny and like it's kind of his efforts to kind of make people laugh. But I think people do look forward to getting like genuine recognition for their kind of their efforts at work.
Sure. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there with he was trying to bring an element of humor to the occasion, but it was his humor and it wasn't finely balanced at all when mixing that in with professionalism. This is a corporate event at the end of the day, despite it being in a Chili's. Michael failed to understand that the team's humor or their preferences change person to person. He's clearly not set any clear boundaries when leading that team, and it's not really encouraging an inclusive work environment. You couldn't make the errors like he did with the categories if he had done so. So sometimes humor can enhance camaraderie amongst colleagues, but not a single thought was given to that when creating the event in the first place, and the absolute lead balloon across the floor when people were going out to accept these awards just absolutely ratified that totally.
I feel like he could have been, yeah, as you say, a bit more thoughtful and put some idea behind those awards. And, you know, for example, every year he gives Pam the same award and recognition of like the longest engagement award goes to Pam. And obviously that actually really hurts Pam's feelings because she's obviously quite sensitive about it for very clear and obvious reasons. Mm. And I feel like, you know, if he knew his employees and had like a bit of awareness about those small behaviors and like picking up those cues that people aren't having fun, people aren't laughing, people clearly don't want to be there, so he's not, you know, created that environment for them to kind of want to be in that space. And I think it's really lovely when like Jim kind of goes into the office to Michael and says, hey, you know, I think it would be great if you kind of change that category, like, you know. And Michael's like, oh, but it's so funny because we do that every year. And I feel like that's maybe sometimes what people in workplaces need to do is they can, you know, you're in it, right? And managers don't always see things. And I feel like as an employee, you have the insight to the culture that you can then say to the manager, hey, I'm not sure if you know this, but maybe this award isn't the right one, or maybe this is what's happening with your colleagues, and just supporting each other that way. I feel like there's like an element of, you know, advocating for each other at work in that way, like Jim did.
Sure. Well, Jim's comment was direct feedback and Michael's failed to take that on board. He's not even acknowledged it. He's not got a culture to improve that element to his workspace. Doesn't really acknowledge or learn from his errors ever, which kind of the premise of the show working so well, but for an office environment, extremely toxic. No open space to discuss ideas with the team. And the offensive awards that occur year on year, any feedback that's come from the shop floor is not taken into consideration at all. To me, if I was working in that environment, I would think my boss, the leader, does not value any kind of progress. There's no sort of way forward in that sense. It's very lucky, actually, that anyone bothered to attend to attend at all.
I think he managed to rope people in because it's like, you can bring your partners and family. And so people are like, okay, cool. And then it turns out there's no budget and they have to buy their own drinks and food. And it's just like, oh, really? Like, you can't even do the basic thing, right?
Sure. And, you know, comes across as completely unprofessional on his part for that. It was only really people's pity for him at the end of it and a lot of alcohol that sort of saved and won the day. But if that were to play out in a more realistic setting, he would need to invest in some serious professional development after that night.
Yeah. What kind of things do you think Michael could do with in terms of personal development? What kind of courses and modules would you put that man on?
The art of public speaking, perhaps, because I don't think he was particularly nuanced when he was delivering what he was to the room.
He did a rap.
Clear communication. So improve communication by setting expectations within the team. You could argue that he did do that, but it was a culture of anything kind of goes almost, and certainly no boundaries when it comes to sense of humor and what may or may not be offensive. Regular updates, regular feedback as well, providing that channel for employees to feedback to the manager, praise or grumble. That can either be an anonymous feedback form, or we could have daily sort of stand-up meetings just to keep the temperature check on the attitudes amongst his team, and ensuring that everyone understands their roles. You said people like to receive recognition for, you know, legitimate things that they've actually done in the day to day, and he was, you know, giving awards out for smelliest bowel movement, etc. So it doesn't really kind of allow everyone to fully embrace and understand their roles, because none of the awards that were dished out, or very few anyway, were actually relevant at all to the whole reason they're in that environment every day, going to work and taking a wage.
Yeah, I think Michael could do with a lot of development. Every time I do these episodes, it's so funny, because obviously the whole premise, as you say, of the show is, you know, Michael's inability to take feedback and his lack of self-awareness. And it's what makes for such an entertaining watch, right? But I feel like, yes, he's kind of like an inflated version of what kind of managers can be. But there are managers out there that are like that, that can't seem to take feedback. Like, they do take it so personally, or they don't even give the space to, you know, receive that feedback. So having those stand-ups, having that transparency to be like, here's an opportunity to, you know, fill in a feedback form anonymously, right? Because I think people aren't always comfortable with sharing feedback so directly where they're associated with it, because they worry about, I guess, the impact it will have on their own personal kind of journey in the
I mean, he's got a lot of potential there. I think the blueprints in place for someone that does celebrate diversity and inclusion, there is a vast array of awards handed out and recognition given. There was just no personal touch to it, no sensitivity. So it absolutely touches on D&I and the importance of it, perhaps, but totally, given the event that took place, no consideration was kind of given to how people were going to react to it on a, you know, person by person basis. And he crossed many boundaries. There was a lot of discomfort amongst all of the employees. And just to, you know, go back to professionalism as a leader, he didn't maintain any level of that at all. And it wasn't even a friendly, supportive environment in the early days of that, in the early moments of that ceremony. It was an absolute cringe fest.
Yeah, honestly, it's the amount of cringing that goes on when you watch this show. It's ridiculous. You're just like, oh God, is he really going to do this? Is he really going to say that? And there's like, there's a bit there where he does something really offensive. He's like mimicking Southeast Asian people, and you can see there's like guests in this chili restaurant just eating their meal, and they're just looking at him like, what the hell is this? Like, can you imagine if someone did that today in a restaurant? Like, the company would be in turmoil, rightfully so, but Michael just seems to get away with it, and, like, you know, Dunder Mifflin gets away, you know, with no repercussions for Michael's behavior.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he does need to, or if this were a real life scenario, that there would be a serious emergency need for turning those mistakes into a learning opportunity and self-reflection, because there are several errors made well, there's several errors made in every single episode, but that one in particular, he would need to kind of own up to the fact that he's perhaps closed-minded, and a lot of the categories that he dished out were perhaps acceptable in old money, but certainly not in today's day and age. Apologies, you know, that can go a long way to fixing any grievance someone may have with you, just acknowledging it in the first place, and then implement that change afterwards. Any feedback given, use it to make meaningful adjustments and create better recognition strategies. And as a trainee, you know, invest in those training managers that can influence office culture, improve communication, again, recognition, but legitimate recognition for the task that's been at hand, not for the world's longest engagement, whatever it might be.
Yeah, it's not great. And I love what you said about apologies, because, you know, sometimes we feel like, you know, oh, it's all gone wrong. And you know, you hear this in the kind of DEI space of someone makes a mistake and it becomes this like whole song and dance about it. But I really think sometimes a simple apology and just holding your hands up and saying, you know, I messed up here, I said something I shouldn't have, is completely inappropriate, and I apologize, and I'll, you know, work to do better next time. And I feel like, you know, we kind of overcomplicate the process because people start tripping up on themselves and, you know, getting like those knee-jerk reactions and becoming self-defense, like becoming really defensive about it, which I think Michael has a tendency to do.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there's frequent conflicts in the episodes. And if from a manager's perspective, you wouldn't want that to fester, of course, within the office environment. It needs to be addressed quickly and in kind of impartial way as well. You can sort of tell Michael has got his favorites in a work capacity, if not in a personal capacity. And to construct and maintain a healthy work environment, you would have to sort of deal with any conflict in a lot more swift manner than he did when, you know, Dwight found that, was it graffiti in the toilet in the ladies' loo?
And then Dwight's reaction is like, this is the ladies' room, so you need to have some class, and then basically prevent the women being able to use the bathroom. And I'm just like, Dwight, like, I love Dwight, honestly. I think he's one of my favorite characters because he is just so ridiculous. He just takes things so literally as well.
It doesn't balance any personal professional boundary, despite, you know, it's ironic really, is that sort of end goal is totally at odds with how he goes about completing the task.
Yeah, and I think the thing I always see and recognize with Dwight is everything that he does is to gain the recognition of Michael. You know, he just does everything that he can to be noticed and to get that praise. So it's like this weird father-son dynamic with them, even though they're like the same age. But I think that's like quite a lot of people, we kind of, you know, in the workplace, we might look to somebody as like, okay, they are someone to, you know, I would really value their recognition and their praise more so than anybody else, and then often not quite get it. So I think, you know, as a manager or as a colleague, just picking up on those things, because those moments where you can just say like, good work, good job, can really change and transform that person's, you know, spirit and morale. Like at the end of the episode, when Michael says, you know, good work to Dwight, he's like, oh, you know he was thinking that he was praising him for helping Pam, who's fallen off her seat drunk, but actually he was like, no, for all your audio work. And it was just like, there's such a lovely, fulfilling moment for Dwight in that particular.
But trend slightly, because most of it, all of it really marginalized, or the team members with the dundies that were the handed out. So totally, it means the world to most people, but certain people it means absolutely everything to. That inclusive recognition for, you know, just saying good job or anything where you can kind of set them apart or point out where they've set themselves apart from the chaff, if you like. So ensuring that recognition is inclusive but also respectful, and aligning with any company values, which there don't seem to be any that set out in Dunder Mifflin. And avoid awards that could potentially offend marginalized team members. Celebrate diversity, yes, and we kind of touched on that slightly, that he does have, Michael Scott, have the framework to do that, but it's about making everyone feel valued for, you know, unique contributions. And you could put Dwight in that bracket, because I very much get the impression that the office, however flawed he might be in himself, could not function without his Kino mentality.
That is one way to put it. Kino mentality. That is Dwight in a nutshell. Yeah. I think you just put that so beautifully. Because even like in the office space, I feel like, you know, Michael spends so much of his time in his own office. And I feel like, you know, when he does come out, it's to irritate people. It's not actually to understand like what people are feeling, what they're working on, what's going on for them. And I think, you know, with managers, it's about taking that time out to get to know your colleagues, get to know your employees, because, yeah, as you say, then when it comes to these awards, you can actually put something together meaningfully that actually makes someone feel good about the work that they've been putting in. And they're like, okay, I'm seen, I'm heard, I'm valued, and here's an award to show that. I think, you know, awards are only one part of it, because I think, you know, they're very sweet and they're nice to have those kind of, I guess, workplace culture events to try and, you know, boost morale. But yeah, sometimes we need to just give people pay rises. We need to pay them equitably. We need to recognize them with promotions and progression and routes like that. Sometimes a little trophy with a bowling ball person is probably not like the best thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, employee development should be kind of put at the forefront, really. It's not always possible for promotion, and you certainly can't ever promote everyone. But if you sort of give the idea and create the culture for ongoing development and training, and managers should invest in employees' professional growth to enhance their skills, that will go some way to providing more job satisfaction and perhaps even overall productivity amongst the workforce as well. Michael Scott erodes a lot of trust that might be put into him, because he's got very erratic behavior at the best of times, and I certainly wouldn't look up to him as a trust figure. It would make me nervous, actually.
I totally agree. If I had some issues, or I had like a willingness to be promoted, I probably wouldn't go to Michael Scott, because I don't genuinely think he would have my back and actually do the work to get me that promotion. I feel like he'd be that person that goes, yeah, I'll work on that, and then just brush it aside. And then you check in with them and it's like, so where is this training course, and where is this progression route, and where's all these development plans? And it's like, oh, yeah, it's been really busy, I haven't got the time, but I'll promise I'll get round to it. And it just goes on like that for so long. And then people just end up leaving. Obviously, people don't leave the office, because then we'd probably have like two episodes, because everyone would have left by now. But yeah, I just feel like in the real world, that's when we, you know, they say people don't leave workplaces, they leave bad managers. And I think that's just basic, you know, in essence, what happens a lot of the time.
Very true. And I've had managers in the past, not necessarily affecting me personally, but I've witnessed it where people have been held back because the manager sees that person as indispensable to them, and kind of holds back their career because either they don't want to go about training up someone else to reach the same standards as the person that wants to leave, or if they, you know, can't be bothered to fill the gap in them in themselves. So it's a real sort of toxic trait when your focus is, as a leader anyway, when your focus isn't on the development of the team or recognition beyond like an awards ceremony. I mean, this is an annual ceremony in the Dundies, but the actual culture of recognition should be taking place throughout the year, day-to-day acknowledgement of hard work amongst the team. This should be a habit for a manager to express, and that generally anyway would in turn create a more positive and encouraging environment. His leadership style massively impacts anything you would perhaps call culture in that team. His behavior sets the tone. His actions His attitude, it's what shapes the hostile nature of that award ceremony when it kicks off. It kind of saves the day towards the end, but it's more through luck than judgment, really.
I feel like every episode, it like ends up being okay. And I'm like, how? How has this just suddenly become really like rosy and perfect and everyone is friends again and everything is great? I'm just like, there's something here that I don't quite understand.
Honestly, yeah. If only that was the way.
But I feel like, you know, even though it's kind of rosy at the end, even when people come back in the office, yes, they've had that one nice moment and everyone's kind of happy, but they then go back into the office and the things are the same as they were before. And it's just like, okay, here we go again. And you just kind of, yeah, try and navigate that space.
Well, however good a time people might have had in the end, that is going to be hot gossip around the water cooler. People aren't going to forget it. And it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy of a downward spiral, really, when it comes to having a negative energy in the workplace.
I found it really interesting when you were saying, yes, the Dundees are once a year. And it makes me think about like 360s and like when you have your like end of year feedback and you get that kind of development and constructive criticism, hopefully, from your colleagues and managers and things like that about things that you can develop and improve. But there's this like thing called recency bias where we actually only remember information from like a few weeks before that moment. So actually when we get those 360 pieces of feedback or we have that yearly check-in or whatever it is, actually the feedback and the insights that you get from your manager or whoever's giving you that feedback is likely to only have been from the last few weeks or even couple of months. So actually you're not getting a representative view of the entire year. So as you said, you need to build that habit within the organization where there are checkpoints throughout the year that you give feedback and you give development, you give training, because you know, there's no one point in the year where it's like, okay, this is the moment, because actually it needs to be embedded throughout the entire journey of an employee.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And that comes down to sort of clear expectations. It's totally set from leadership, from the top down, that kind of culture, turning mistakes into learning opportunities and that regular feedback. So if anyone is falling down in a certain area, they can make the efforts to then go and invest in training or in self-development and that kind of thing. The team dynamics affected as well if it's skewered one. So that bit, I didn't have any clue about that. Was it conscious bias, recency bias?
Recency bias, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that at all. If you want to sort of see how an overall team environment is shaped, picking something from statistics or observations from the 12 months ago is not going to go any way to helping someone improve themselves. So there's a communication challenge there that needs to be addressed. It needs to be a clear and effective communication in the workplace to highlight any instances that do need to be fixed. And I don't think Dunder Mifflin succeeds in engaging its employees in that way.
And I think when I think about kind of going back again, I keep going back and forwards with this because there's just so much to like talk about when it comes to the Scranton office and Michael Scott. But yeah, like in terms of that once a year and that feedback and making it part of the culture, I had a previous episode where we talked about how Pam gets involved with or finds out about the internship about graphic design. And so she's like interested in taking that up. And I feel like because Michael doesn't take the effort to recognize or take time to understand and learn more about his employees, he doesn't know to put them forward for these opportunities because he just doesn't see that as part of him and what he should do, which I think every manager should. You know, you're supposed to there empower and uplift your employees and put them forward for things, because not always people don't always put themselves forward for things because there's like imposter syndrome or nervousness and all kinds of things that kind of become barriers to putting yourself forward. And you might not even know these things exist, right? And I feel like had, you know, Michael been more professional and had really clear understanding, you know, he probably would have given Pam an award about, you know, the most creative person, and actually giving that recognition for a really key skill that she has a lot of love for. And I think those things can be like a way to propel someone to their next kind of journey in the workplace.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it doesn't really regularly assess the team, or if they are regularly assess the information, if it's passed to him, he's not really taking it on board. He doesn't have a good gauge of morale amongst the team at all. I don't really get the impression that he perhaps knows the team well, that personally it's not well organized or inclusive when he does create these events, and they just go on to create awkward moments amongst everyone. He does have quite, like, you know, we mentioned the good heart earlier, the fact that he's not a lost cause when it comes to being an inclusive leader and embracing that diversity. He's also got a very resilient side to him. So he's constantly faced with these scenarios that that do go wrong. And although he comes out smelling of roses a lot of the time, you can't get away from the fact that he demonstrates massive resilience to anything that's sort of thrown his way, even when it doesn't go well. When the awards are kind of dead in the water and he's looking like he's about to burst into tears and the day is ultimately saved, he does demonstrate, you know, the value of perseverance. And although not necessarily learning from his mistakes, he's always striving to see the job through, although it's only really to his personal taste without really taking anyone else's opinion on board. So you do have to kind of give him a bit of credit for that. But when it comes to the nitty gritty and getting to know the team really well, I don't think he's perhaps got a leg to stand on there.
No, he definitely hasn't. I love that you have that, we're able to give that perspective, because I'm like, oh, you know, yes, he's a good heart and you can't help but love him because of kind of the reason why he's doing these things, because ultimately he just wants to be liked. He just wants to be friends with his colleagues. But you're so right. He does have, I don't know where he gets it from, but this resilience and there's this ability to kind of take those negative moments, you know, take it on the chin and just kind of like move forward, which I think is quite a good skill to have as a manager, because, you know, there are moments throughout the entire series where, like, there's talks of like redundancies and the Scranton branch closing down and all of these kind of things. And I feel like he gives a level of transparency that maybe the head office doesn't give. And I think that's so valuable to the team. And I think they always know that, yes, Michael probably isn't the most suitable and, you know, great manager, but actually, you know, at his essence, he is human and he will say it as it is. And I think you always know that, you know, you get the truth somewhat with Michael.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's quite adaptable in for himself and can survive a lot himself. He wouldn't say he's necessarily, you know, encouraging much innovation. He's not very flexible when it comes to any grievances that his employees might have. And he doesn't show much willingness to involve the culture of the office or a way of doing things. But for he himself, yeah, he's very adaptable to situations. And because he sort of does wear his heart on his sleeve, although he doesn't really recognize much personal information about individual team members, you can sort of still see him as quite an honest person, because he doesn't change tack. He's always unapologetically himself, and it wouldn't stoke sort of an A-star internal working culture, but it would at least let you know where you kind of stood with the boss. Even if his head is in the clouds, you certainly know it's there. It's nothing's masked at all.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been wonderful. We are coming up towards the end. Is there anything else you want to mention or say about the Dundies, Michael, or anything else to do with the Dundon Mifflin world?
Think it provides valuable insight into the nuances that have to be taken on board when it comes to employee recognition, importance of tailoring approaches to individuals and recognizing what's offensive and what you can get away with, and that it's a delicate balance, and it's also a delicate balance between humor and professionalism in the workplace. And reflect on mistakes as well make improvements, learn from your mistakes. The only way to go about doing that, and managers are often the ones that can learn the most valuable lessons by fostering that positive environment and building stronger relationships with their teams.
Beautiful. I love that wrap up. Thank you. And thank you to everybody that was listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode with Nick. I certainly did. And yeah, if you have any questions or want us to look at anything in particular in terms of episodes and future topics, do let us know. We'll have all the information in the description. But yeah, we look forward to seeing you in our next episode. Thanks, everyone.